What's wrong with you? The question hits like a punch to the gut when you're single longer than society deems acceptable. It's a question that assumes singleness must be the result of some hidden defect, a belief so pervasive that even the most confident among us begin to wonder if there's truth to it. This toxic assumption forms the foundation of our cultural understanding of prolonged singlehood, especially for women. But what if there's nothing wrong with you at all? The self-improvement industrial complex has convinced singles they must fix themselves before finding love. We're told to build confidence, practice self-love, develop hobbies, and heal childhood wounds, as if romantic partnership were a reward for completing personal development. Meanwhile, we watch friends with their own baggage fall effortlessly into relationships without a single yoga class or therapy session. Research from relationship expert John Gottman reveals that everyday neuroses don't prevent marriage success. The key isn't having a perfectly balanced personality, but finding someone with whom you mesh well. What if your only issue is believing you have issues? What if you're simply a normal, flawed human who hasn't yet met your match? Contrary to popular belief, high self-esteem isn't essential for love. Research shows people with high self-esteem aren't more likable. They just think they are, and often appear arrogant. Self-esteem typically fails when we need it most, after rejection or failure. Consider Marcella, who spent 9 years and thousands trying to fix herself through makeup artists, seminars, and obsessing over flaws. Despite never achieving her idealized self-image, she found love at 38 during a biking trip. Both she and her husband acknowledge their self-esteem veers toward the low side, yet they deeply value each other. Self-compassion offers a healthier alternative, treating yourself with the kindness you'd show a good friend. When dating disappoints, rather than asking, "What's wrong with me?" self-compassion recognizes, "This hurts, and that's normal. We all face rejection." This perspective acknowledges our shared humanity, instead of viewing setbacks as personal flaws. Self-compassion not only eases pain, but accelerates recovery, making you more willing to take positive risks. Dating advice often pushes relentless positivity, suggesting we cover life's complexities with cheerful platitudes. While oversharing about tax audits on first dates is unwise, I found that keeping conversations artificially light led to forgettable encounters. My most meaningful dates involved honest conversations about complicated families and career frustrations, two somewhat lonely human beings trying to figure it all out. Psychologists call it ironic process theory. Suppressing negative thoughts actually makes them more prevalent, like trying not to think of pink elephants makes you hyper aware of them. Studies confirm that people instructed to avoid sadness become more distressed than those given no instructions. Dating itself demonstrates remarkable optimism, meeting strangers hoping to build a life together. That's genuine positivity, regardless of whether you discuss life's challenges. Authenticity, not forced cheerfulness, creates real connection. For generations, ambitious women have been warned that their independence and education make them unmarriageable. Yet this cautionary tale is entirely false. Women with college degrees are actually more likely to marry than less educated peers, and less likely to divorce. Those with graduate degrees and six-figure incomes have higher marriage rates, not lower. Research shows marriages beginning in a woman's late 30s are 46% less likely to end in divorce than those starting in her mid-20s. This myth persists because it was once true. Historically, educated, independent women did have lower marriage rates, but these patterns have completely reversed while our cultural narratives haven't caught up. We reinforce outdated assumptions when explaining singlehood as focusing on my career, a socially acceptable deflection misinterpreted as evidence that ambitious women postpone love. In reality, when truly in love, even the busiest professionals make time for relationships. Independence doesn't make women less lovable. It enhances their ability to form genuine partnerships based on mutual respect rather than outdated gender roles. society places singles in an impossible bind. Marriage is celebrated as life's crowning achievement, yet single women who admit wanting it are dismissed as desperate. I maintained the single and loving it facade while genuinely content most days. But on cold January nights, I'd long for simple companionship, someone to watch bad TV with and just be there. This desire made me feel like I was failing feminism, though no feminist organization ever suggested wanting partnership was shameful. As psychiatrist Amir Levine explains, our need for someone to share our lives with is part of our genetic makeup, not a sign of weakness. Society scorns dependency while exalting independence, to our detriment. Stephanie Kuntz points out how absurd it is to label modern single women desperate. Historically, desperate meant marrying abusive men or hiding bruises. Today's single women aren't desperate, they're discerning. Having standards isn't desperation. The media portrays dating as a cosmic tennis match where women over 30 are always losing, warned about diminishing value, while male peers supposedly have endless younger options. This narrative drives women to approach relationships defensively. Dating guides discourage basic kindness like unlocking doors or cooking meals, sending the troubling message, "Hide your authentic self because it will drive them away." University of Houston professor Brené Brown's research shows that wholehearted people with strong self-worth embrace vulnerability. They'll say "I love you" first and invest without guarantees. This reflects our acquisitive view of relationships, spouses as trophies, with engagement rings as proof of lovability. What's overlooked is what both parties actually seek: loving partnership. Relationships aren't zero-sum games. Happily married men typically have happily married wives. Most men aren't predators competing for prizes. They're ordinary people seeking connection just like you. When Melanie Notkin's married friend urged her to have a baby alone to avoid spending the rest of her life alone, Notkin responded with clarity, "But this is the rest of my life, right here and right now." Though not what she'd planned, Notkin has built a fulfilling life running her company, writing, and embracing her role as an aunt. While still open to meeting someone, she no longer views her current life as merely a waiting period. Single women face the condescending question, "Are you happy?" something rarely asked of married people, who are afforded privacy and assumed contentment. Yet media constantly debates single women's happiness, featuring skydiving photos and trivial perks like not having to share the remote. Singlehood puts you in the present and reveals life's impermanence. Marriage often creates an illusion of permanence, hiding the truth that nothing lasts forever. We cling to marital statuses as fixed identities, despite their changing nature. Enjoying your current life while remaining open to partnership isn't a second-class existence. It's embracing the truth of impermanence. The question isn't whether you'll spend the rest of your life alone, but whether you're fully present for the life you're actually living now.